Aren't you grateful for our praise team today? My friends, God is good.
All the time.
Amen. If you brought your Bibles or you have them on your phones or your gadgets or whatever it is, we're in Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. Just want to make a note. I notice as we set up the chairs every week for worship, some of you move the chairs around during worship to be closer to each other and kind of break the rules. And that's fine, you know, if you're going to do that, you're going to do that. I just want to encourage you to put those chairs back approximately where they were when you leave so that the 20s are in the 20s and the 30s are in the 30s and that kind of a thing. And also, you can leave the chair numbers on the chairs. Some of you have been eating them after the worship service, and we don't want to have to replace them every week. So we thank you for that as well. Anyway, we're in Psalm 63. Let's bow our heads and pray. Mighty God, thank you with all of our heart. You are so great and so mighty. You are so powerful and overwhelming. We can't even describe you. And in times that are indescribable, it's good to know that you are greater than those times. So be with us, teach us your word, allow us to experience peace, both as we gather here in person and as we gather here online, and remind us by your Spirit, mighty God, that even though some of us are here in person and some of us are online, you have united us all together as the family of God. And for that, we will always be grateful and we'll thank you for everything in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So if you ever dare to follow the news anymore, chances are pretty good. Did somebody just say, Anyway, chances are pretty good that you're going to come across a scandal of some sort. And often those scandals are of the sexy variety, as reporters use phrases like intimate relationship and or intimacy in place of the words they probably want to use and their audience understands. The problem is that the word intimacy is much more synonymous these days with words like sordid and flaunted or indiscriminate than it ever should be. Our society, for any number of reasons, has given intimacy a bad name. So today, let's read in this Psalm of David, Psalm 63, about intimacy as I think that God would have us understand it. He writes in Psalm 63, beginning in verse 1, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you're my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me." You see, intimacy actually means marked by a close acquaintance, association, or familiarity. There is nothing improper about intimacy at all. God tells us that he wants an intimate relationship with us, not the intimacy which our culture understands as secret and potentially humiliating, dirty, or hidden, but an intimacy which is marked by a close acquaintance with the one who created us. And God desperately desires that intimacy with you and me. In fact, he wants it right now. How do we know this? Well, in his word that we just read, he describes the relationship David has with him, one that God wants for all of us. So based on David's example, let's talk about a few ways to increase our intimacy with God, okay? One is this: spend lots of time with God. You see that in verse 1. Spending time with God on Sunday is a great thing. Believe me, I love it when we do that. But just like our friends and our spouses and probably even our pets, a few hours one day a week isn't enough, is it? That was a question. No, it's absolutely not enough. It's possible to be intimate in our relationship. It's not possible to be intimate in our relationship with Jesus unless we desire, that is, we want to spend an increasing amount of time with God. Think about your best relationships. Are they characterized by good conversation, lots of quality time, and the anticipation about when you'll see each other again? Or are they characterized by texts, emails, and video chats once a year? I'm thinking it's the former. Quality time in conversation always wins the day. God says, "Do you want to spend time together? I'm available." And all we need to do to spend some time very close with Jesus is by reading his word, praying and serving in his name, just to name a few things. Spend some time with the one who has saved your soul. He loves you. He wants to be with you. Another one is stay sensitive to God. Stay sensitive to God. Take a listen to verse 2 again. "I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory." Instead of experiencing God in the figurative sanctuary that David is writing about, that is one-on-one encounters where God has our full attention, all too often we let constant noise fill our minds and our hearts 24/7, 365. And then we don't ever have time to consider what's important in life. Karl Marx said that religion is the opiate of the masses. That is, it's like a drug. It temporarily relieves the pain from whatever is going on in our lives, but has no long-term value. Well, I don't believe that's true. Instead, please permit me to maintain that constant busyness and noise is the real opium of the masses. Because as long as we keep racing to the next thing, checking the next item off our list, liking the last post, getting angry at the last tweet, or not able to focus on a conversation with a loved one because we are so preoccupied, we'll never have a chance for quiet self-reflection, calm decisions regarding our direction, and peaceful deliberations about the meaning of life under the care of a God who loves us all. And that's because noise and constant action is the real opiate of our souls. And as long as we go 80,000 miles an hour with our hair on fire, we won't ever have time to think about higher purpose, and our sensitivity to God will be dulled. We won't ever experience the wonder of saying, "I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory." So we need to get used to the quiet again. Take a walk without your headphones, right? Without your headphones playing in your ears. We're the only generation that can't do anything on our own without our own personal theme music. Sit in the quiet. Read a book without the TV on or your phone nearby. Go to sleep without the clock radio or the iPhone playing your favorite tunes as you go into la-la land. The more comfortable we are in the quiet, the better our chances are to hear God speak to us in the quiet. How about this one? Hang out with other Christians who are intimate with God. It certainly stands to reason that someone who's trying to develop intimacy with God should want to be with others who are attempting the same thing. So find someone who's close to God and hang out with them. Many of us spend most of our time with people who don't want to be intimate with God. And whether it's a radio shock jock or negative people at church or selfish people at work, those mindsets and habits seem to rub off on us. I've shared this with you before, but here it goes again. When I was 17 years old, I managed a pool store down in the area where I lived. Not the billiards kind of pool, but the, you know, swimming kind of pool store. And we'd work all day, and when we weren't out on maintenance calls, we'd work all day in the store answering phones, and probably 200 times a day I answered the phone and said, "Hello, Aqua Pools, this is Ed, how can I help you?" Every single time the phone rang, "Hello, Aqua Pools, this is Ed, how can I help you?" Hello, Aqua Pools, this is Ed. How can I help you? If the phone rang, I picked it up and I said, hello, Aqua Pools, this is Ed. How can I help you? In fact, you probably know what I said by now, don't you? In fact, when I pick up the phone, what did I say? Right, absolutely. And then I would get home at night to my parents' house. I was 17. I lived with my parents, and we had one phone in the house on the wall. This is the Jurassic era days before there were cell phones or anything, and it was a red phone on the wall with a big, long, twisted up cord that could get you about 15 feet, and that's all the freedom you had. That was it. Anyway, when I was home, during dinner or watching TV or talking to my parents, the phone would ring and I would pick it up. And what did I say? Aqua Pools, this is Ed. How can I help you? Why is that? Because repetition rubs off. So will the habits and the mindsets and the philosophies of those that you hang around the most. You can book that. So find some people who are trying to be faithful to God like you're trying to be, and go get some buffalo wings at Applebee's or order takeout or something like that, and talk about what excites you about faith, what scares you about faith, what confuses you about faith. You'll be amazed at the new concepts you discover and the incredible encouragement you experience through these conversations where you grow closer to each other through your common goal of Christ following. And make sure you leave that Applebee's server a really good tip. Okay? Oh, and this one too. Thank God for what God is doing in your life. And what's the result of the Christian when he or she reflects on what God has done? It's thanksgiving and praise every time. Because God does great things, and we can be thankful and praise him for it. You see, since we are naturally sinful human beings, a negative outlook comes naturally to us. Have you noticed that? We can be negative with no prior training. We're just good at it. It's just part of who we are. Research has shown that if a customer has a good experience in a store, it's only 10% likely that they're going to share that news with other people. But if they have a negative experience in a store, it is 90% likely that he or she will tell multiple people. And with social media, that multiplies to thousands, right? Why is that? Because we are naturals at the negativity thing. When we are negative, we are succumbing to our sinful nature. Go to Books A Million Bookstore or Barnes & Noble or browse Amazon.com, and you will find thousands of titles which want to teach us about having a positive outlook regarding our self-image, our friendship, our finances, and our future. One you may remember was from Norman Vincent Peale back in the 1950s. He wrote a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. Was it popular? Oh my gosh, it sold 11 billion copies. Now think about it. How many books are out there at those places on the shelves about how to think negatively? Right? Instead of how to win friends and influence people, how about how to make people mad and chase them away? If Norman Vincent Peale had written a book called The Power of Negative Thinking, nobody would have bought it. Why? Because anybody who saw the title would have said, I got that covered. I don't need any help there. Because negativity comes naturally to us naturally sinful people. We are good at the negative already. A positive and thankful outlook in life takes intentional effort because it goes against our nature. And since God wants us to go against our sin nature, we need to move our efforts into things which positivize, word for the day, positivize our mindset. One of those things is reflecting on what God has done for us. And what has God done for us? Oh, folks, salvation and provision, constant care, perfect love, unending hope, celebratory joy, lifelong friendships, enduring freedom, just to name a few. And when we reflect on those provisions and we think of them and speak of them with our friends at Applebee's or wherever we happen to be, our attitude and our countenance changes. Even on a bad day, it changes. So friends, be thankful for all that God has done. You know, in 1970, the Beatles were at the top of their popularity. They were at the top of their money-making potential. They were the King Midas of music. Everything they touched turned to gold. And at those nosebleed heights of great achievement, those dizzying heights of wealth-making potential and fame, they broke up the band. Paul went first in April. The others announced it in December. Why? Because they were sick of each other. They stopped trying to make their relationships work. They stopped being close. They settled into natural negativity toward each other. They stopped being intentional in their relationships, and the rest is history. You know, I wonder, maybe, some of us have kind of done the same thing in our relationship with God. We stopped being intentional. And we feel far from God. Intimacy with Jesus seems far, far away from us. But it doesn't have to be that way. Here's the way back to intimacy, according to King David. Spend lots of time with God. Avoid those sensitivity dullers, right? Constant activity, constant noise. Find other Christians growing in their faith and hang out with them. And reflect on and be thankful for all that God has done. These things will eventually lead to a growing intimacy with Jesus. Friends, you need not despair. Intimacy with God is yours if you want it. And God hopes very much that you will take him up on his offer. Spend time. Experience that relationship. It'll change us forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity not to just know about you, but to know you. Thank you for the chance to grow in our faith as we pray so often that you can take us from where we are to where you want us to be. And sometimes, Lord, we do go kicking and screaming. But indeed, you've got a plan. So encourage us and strengthen us. Remind us whose we are, that is, we are yours. And that as we reflect on who you are, as we spend time with Christians who love you, as we remove those things in our life that harden our sensitivity, and as we spend more time with you, you'll be the God not only that we know about, but you'll be the God that we know. And you offer that invitation, Lord. And today, in our heart of hearts, we accept and we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and worship God.